AP&T gives up on a Connolly Lake Hydro project, and high temps made for high speed on this year's Kalani Chilkat bike relay. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Alaska Power and Telephone has decided to quit pursuing efforts to develop the Connolly Lake Hydroelectric Project. The company late last week notified the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission that it was surrendering its preliminary permit for the project. It was issued a preliminary permit in March of last year to conduct feasibility and environmental studies. In a letter to the federal agency and in a press release, project manager Glenn Martin with AP&T writes the company believes the project to be technologically feasible, but that there is not enough electrical load to make it economical.
The sole purpose of that project was to serve Haines and as a backup if Skagway has problems, but primarily to serve Haines and its load. But right now, Haines doesn't have a high enough load to by itself support the project. And even though there will be, as I guess occurred this last spring, there was more diesel use because of the type of spring you were having. And, you know, things like that are going to happen. And having a little redundancy with a hydro project at the Haines end is just a good idea.
Martin said without a large stakeholder, like the cruise industry or a mining company who could guarantee a minimum usage, the project would be too expensive. But Martin also cites a lack of local support as a reason for the permit surrender.
Utilities or project developers for renewable resources in general have to really kind of look ahead. And in this situation, we're kind of put in a position where we're unable to try and do that in part because a funding authority such as Alaska Energy Authority sees local a lack of support for a project such as this and views that as a reason perhaps not to provide the sort of funding we were looking for. So that cuts back on our ability to pursue this project.
Since receiving a preliminary permit for the project, concerns have come to the surface. Conservation groups like Lynn Canal Conservation say the project could affect the Chilkoot River Corridor, a prolific salmon spawning system. Access to the project would also have to be routed through the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve. Native groups like the Alaska Native Sisterhood and Alaska Native Brotherhood spoke out against the project because of possible effects in the historical and culturally significant Chilkoot Corridor. Some in the commercial fishing industry have also voiced concerns, and some state and federal wildlife agencies at one point asked for more environmental impact studies and coordination with AP&T for environmental work. Lynn Canal Conservation previously spoke in favor of a different hydro project at Shubi Lake. The group said that project had less environmental impact, especially on fisheries. But AP&T said earlier this year it wasn't going to pursue Shubi Lake because of costs. Scott Carey, treasurer and former president of Lynn Canal Conservation, said the group was surprised at the timing of the surrender notice, but not surprised at the reasoning.
I guess we're kind of surprised that they pulled the permit at this point, but we're not surprised that the project is not doable, that it's we always thought it was way too expensive, and we always thought that the power wasn't needed. We always thought there was lots of local opposition. So we're not surprised at any of that. I guess we're kind of just surprised that it happened when it did, you know.
Martin with AP&T said public support was an important ingredient needed to secure grant funding for portions of the project through the Alaska Energy Authority. The Connolly Lake project recently ranked low on the AEA's list of the proposed projects wanting funding, a rank determined by a number of factors. But ironically, on that ranking sheet, public support wasn't one of the areas of concern. Connolly Lake scored the highest points possible in that category. It scored less than the maximum amount possible in the categories of benefit, sustainability, readiness, technological and economic feasibility, and cost of energy. Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott said it was unfortunate AP&T chose to identify a lack of public support as a reason for not proceeding with the project. Martin and AP&T President Bob Grimm had asked the borough to voice formal support for the project recently and alluded that a lack of formal support was a reason the project may not be receiving grant funding. That didn't sit well with some members of the Haines Assembly. Mayor Scott suggested the company should come to Haines in person and make its request to the Assembly. AP&T was scheduled to discuss local support with the Borough Assembly on June 25th. In response to Thursday's announcement, Mayor Scott sent an email to AP&T officials and others saying she was concerned for the future of the power supply in the Upper Lynn Canal system. She suggests a meeting between AP&T leadership, the Haines Borough, the Municipality of Skagway, and other entities to discuss near-term power supply. She writes, the purpose of the meeting would be to anticipate costs and to continue to forge meaningful partnerships to ensure a reliable and affordable supply of electrical energy in the Upper Lynn Canal. That email also went to Skagway Mayor Stan Selmer. Unlike the Haynesborough Assembly, the Skagway Assembly had voiced support for Connolly Lake. Last year, it weighed in with support for AP&T using a traditional licensing process with the federal agency for the permitting of the project. In that resolution, the Skagway Assembly said the project was large enough to meet the Upper Lynn Canal needs, and the Assembly also urged Haynes residents to support the project in its resolution. Now, Mayor Scott said the borough should focus on other projects and ideas, like the proposed Walker Lake Hydro Project. She also wants to see more emphasis on reduced use and need and exploring alternative energy sources.
Our opportunity now, or our step now, is to look at demand side issues. You know, what can we do to use less power or the same amount of power more efficiently so it's available for more needs? So I think that maybe we need a concerted initiative in that direction.
It was a hot and fast race during the Kewaunee Chilkat International Bike Relay on Saturday. Temperatures reached the mid-80s along the course as 1,200 cyclists making up 275 teams made their way from Haines Junction to Haines. And while it's likely a couple temperature records were broken, it looks like a couple race records were also broken. While all results are still preliminary, some of them are clear-cut. First-time solo racer Jen Walsh of Haines smashed the record time in the solo women's category. Walsh finished in 6 hours, 58 minutes. That's 57 minutes faster than the previous record women's solo time. She participated last year as a team riding 12 miles, but she liked it, and in November, she started training for this year's race as a solo competitor.
I just think it's so neat. I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's great. And, I mean, boy, I have a lot of support.
Walsh's feat comes less than a week after another big accomplishment, when she also passed her EMT3 certification.
I went to Sitka for 13 days, which kind of put a little damper on my training, and took my EMT3, and I passed on Sunday. And then, you know, 6 days later was the bike race. So it was kind of a great week.
Also breaking a record was Brett Boniface of British Columbia. He had the fastest time for men's solo at 5 hours 57 minutes, about 10 minutes faster than the record-winning time in that category. And Boniface was only 1 second behind the first cyclist to cross the finish line, a Whitehorse men's duo team. Several other locals took part in the race. Skagway's Morgan Spencer came in fourth for men's solo. Haines' Chris Miller, Brandy Stickler, and Noble Anderson all completed the race as solo racers, finishing in the top 20. Several Haines and Skagway teams of 4 and 8 also competed. Skagway's Totally Tubular team finished first in the women's 8-person team, and the Haines Chilkat Chicks came in third in that category. More than 200 volunteers assisted with the race as well, and there were no reports of serious injuries. As a side note, some of those volunteers cooked up a post-race dinner for the cyclists. Problem is, the day before the race, about 400 cookies went missing and are presumed stolen that were meant for the dinner. Interim Haines Police Chief Simon Ford put an announcement on the Haines Police Facebook page looking for leads, and he got a few, like the suggestion of looking for people purchasing large quantities of milk, or keep an eye out for a blue hairy monster with googly eyes. But Ford said despite the tips, police have not found the culprit. The warm temperatures might be heralding in summer, but the heat is also posing a danger on local rivers, as flooding became a concern over the weekend. The National Weather Service in Juneau issued a flood watch over the weekend for the Lynn Canal, but canceled it early Monday. The Chilkat River nearly reached flood stage at 21 feet, but the Weather Service forecasted the river would fall slowly during the day on Monday, then rise again through Monday evening and overnight, after another day of above normal temperatures. However, the river is not forecasted to reach minor flood stage. That doesn't mean residents in Clukwan aren't still closely watching the Chilkat. Jimbo Stevens said Monday morning a few smokehouses looked threatened, and he wouldn't be surprised if the river reached a few of them Monday night.
Some smokehouses and skiffs, they better be tied up. I checked my stuff, and I barely got to my skiff and my table to anchor my table, so it won't float away.
Clukwan is normally about 10 degrees warmer than Haines, meaning temperatures were hovering in the 90s over the weekend. Meanwhile, a flood advisory remains in effect for Skagway through 8 a.m. Tuesday. The Taya River reached just over 16 feet and was still rising as of Sunday evening. It's continued to rise again Monday evening and crest at about 16.83 feet around midnight. At a stage of 16.1 feet, water begins to cover portions of the Chilkoot Trail near the river. The Weather Service advises hikers on the trail or preparing for the trail to monitor flood reports. The Haynesboro Assembly on Friday decided to pursue a strategy to fund and replace utility lines underground for the sake of a view shed of the town's waterfront. And last Thursday, the Skagway Assembly approved moving ahead with using a different material as a playground surface at the school. We'll have more on both those stories on our Tuesday evening newscast. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.